Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com. My name is Mike Simpson, and on today's show, we are going to discuss servlets in Java 6. Be sure to check out my GoGo profile and send in any questions or comments using the box below. All right, let's get started. Early in the World Wide Web's history, the Common Gateway Interface, or CGI, was defined to allow web servers to process user input and serve dynamic content. CGI programs may be developed in any script or programming language, but Perl is by far the most common. CGI is supported by virtually all web servers. Many Perl modules are available as freeware or shareware to handle most tasks. However, CGI is not without its drawbacks. Performance and scalability are big problems, since a new process is created for each request, which quickly drains a busy server of resources. Sharing resources such as database connections between scripts or multiple calls to the same script is far from trivial, leading to repeated execution of expensive operations. Security is also another big concern. Most Perl scripts use the command shell to execute operating system commands with user-supplied data, for instance, to send mail, search for information in a file, or just leverage operating system commands in general. Now, this usage of a shell opens up many opportunities for a creative hacker to make the script remove all the files on the server, mail the server's password file to a secret account, or do many other bad things that the script writer didn't anticipate. Web server vendors define application programming interfaces to solve some of these problems, notably Microsoft's IIS API and Netscape's NS API. But an application that's written to these proprietary APIs is married to one particular server vendor. And if you need to move your application to a server from another vendor, then you got to start from scratch. There's also another problem with this approach, and that's reliability. These APIs typically support C or C++ code executing within the web server process. If the application crashes, maybe due to a bad pointer or due to division by zero, it will bring the web server down with it. The Java Servlet API was therefore developed to leverage the advantages of the Java platform to solve the issues of CGI and proprietary APIs. It's a simple API, it's supported by virtually all web servers, and it's even supported by load balancing, fault-tolerant application servers. It solves the performance problem by executing all requests as threads in one process, or in a load balance system, in one process per server in the cluster. And servlets can easily share resources. Security is improved in many ways. First of all, you rarely need to let a shell execute commands with user-supplied data, since the Java APIs provide access to commonly used functions. You can use Java Mail to read and send email. You can use Java Database Connectivity, JDBC, to access databases. You can use the file class and related classes to access the file system. You can use Remote Method Invocation, RMI, or Enterprise Java Beans, to EJB, to access legacy systems. The Java security model makes it possible to implement fine-grained access controls, for instance, only allowing access to a well-defined part of the file system. Java's exception handling also makes a servlet more reliable than the proprietary C or C++ APIs. In this world, a divide by zero is simply reported as an error instead of crashing the web server. Since a servlet is a Java class, it needs to be executed in a Java virtual machine by a service that we call a servlet engine. The servlet engine will load the servlet class the first time the servlet is requested. Optionally, it may already be loaded when the servlet engine is started. The servlet then stays loaded to handle multiple requests until it is explicitly unloaded or until the servlet machine is shut down. There are some web servers that are implemented in Java and have a built-in servlet engine. Some of those include Sun's Java Web Server, JWS, the World Wide Web Committee's Jigsaw. Those are examples of built-in servlet engines. Other web servers, such as Netscape's Enterprise Server, Microsoft's Internet Information Server, IIS, and the Apache Group's Apache, require a servlet engine add-on module, and these add-ons intercept all requests for servlets, execute them, and returns the response through the web server to the client. Some examples of Servlet Engine add-ons include Apache, WebSphere, and IIS. All of these Servlet API classes and a simple servlet-enabled web server are combined into the Java Servlet Development Kit, or JSDK, and that's available for download at Sun's official servlet site. Servlet classes implement the servlet interface, and the servlet interface has three methods that define the servlet's lifecycle. There is an init method, which is a public void method, taking a servlet config object as an argument. This method is called once when the servlet is loaded into the servlet engine, before the servlet is asked to process its first request. Then there is a public void service method, which takes every servlet request and servlet response as arguments. And this method is called to process a request. It may be called 0, 1, or many times until the servlet is unloaded. Multiple threads may execute this method in parallel, so the service method must be thread safe. The init method can throw a servlet exception. The service method may throw a servlet exception, and it may throw an IO exception. The destroy method is called once just before the servlet is unloaded and is taken out of service. We mentioned that the init method has a servlet config attribute. The servlet can read its initialization arguments through the servlet configuration object. Now, those initialization arguments are usually defined in a configuration file, but that's actually dependent upon the actual servlet engine. Typically, a typical example of such an initialization argument is a database identifier. A servlet can read this argument from the servlet config at initialization and can then use it later to open a connection to the database during the processing of a request. Now, the servlet API is structured to make servlets that use a different protocol than HTTP possible. Now, most of you that are doing this stuff in Javelet are going to be utilizing the HTTP servlet interface because you're going to be working with servlets that are going to be talking back and forth using HTTP. But the javax.servlet package contains interfaces and classes that are intended to be protocol independent. The javax.servlet.http package does contain some HTTP-specific interfaces and classes. Let's take a look at a servlet that will extend a class named HTTP servlet, since a lot of your servlets will start by extending that. The HTTP servlet is part of the Java Servlet Development Kit, and that implements the servlet interface plus a number of convenience methods. This sample class will import the javax.servlet and javax.servlet.http classes, and it will then extend the HTTP servlet class. Now, there are an important set of methods in HTTP servlet, the ones that take care of specializing or extending the service method. Now, the implementation of service looks at the type of request it's asked to handle, get, post, head, and then calls a specific method for each type. The advantage of dealing with service is that you don't have to subsequently write a do get method, a do post method, a do head method. Service is sort of the one-stop shop to handle them all. The more common types, of course, are get and post, and we can just handle those in the do service. Now, the do get method has two interesting parameters, a servlet request object, HTTP servlet request, and a servlet response object, HTTP servlet response. These two objects give you full access to all information about the request, and they let you control the output that's sent to the client as the response to the request. When you use the Common Gateway Interface, or CGI, you'll read environment variables and standard input to get information about the request. But the names of the environment variables may vary between implementations. Some of the environment variables are not provided by all the web servers. The HTTP servlet request object provides the same information as the CGI environment variables, plus more, in a standardized fashion. It also provides methods for extracting HTTP parameters from the query string or from the request body, depending upon whether you did a get or a post. As a servlet developer, you're going to access parameters for the same way for both types of requests. There are also methods that will give you access to all the request headers and help you parse date and cookie headers. Now, with CGI, you would normally just write the response directly to standard output. Now, Instead of doing that, you'll get an output stream, or more likely a print writer, from the HTTP servlet response object. The output stream object is intended for binary data, like a GIF or a JPEG image. The print writer is intended for text output. You can also set all the response headers and set the status code without having to rely on special web server CGI configurations, such as having to set up for non-parsed headers. Setting that up makes your servlet easier to install. Your doGet method, therefore, can simply call behaviors such as getServerName and getServerPort and getProtocol against the request object. The doGet method uses both of the methods in HTTP servlet request that will provide information about the request. Now, you can read all about them in the servlet API documentation, so let's just mention a couple of the more interesting ones. GetParameterNames and GetParameterValues help you access HTTP parameters, whether the servlet was requested with the get or the post method. GetParameterValues returns a string array. And you return a string array because the HTTP parameter may have multiple values. Let's say you request your servlet with a string like http://company.com/servlet/request/servlet?foo=bar and foo=baz. Now, if you do that, your foo parameter is going to have two values. Foo parameter is going to have a value of bar and a foo parameter is a value of baz. So that's a situation where you're going to have multiple values, and so you're going to need to use get parameter values there. Now, the same is going to be true if you use the same name for more than one HTML form element. So you're going to have the form name with multiple values there. Now, if you are sure that an HTTP parameter can have only one value, then you can call get parameter by itself instead of calling get parameter values. If you need to get access to all of the HTTP request headers, sometimes you do, you can call get header and call get header names. Get header names gives you the list of all the header names, and get header returns the string value associated with a particular header. Now, if you know that the header had a date or integer value, then you can get help returning that header and converting it into an appropriate format. Get date header will return a date as a number of milliseconds since January 1st, 1970 at midnight GMT. Now, that happens to be the standard numeric representation of a timestamp in Java, and you can use it to construct a date object to convert to a local time for further manipulation. Get cookies parses the cookie header, and it returns all of the cookies as an array of cookie objects. Now, if you want to add a cookie to a response, the HTTP servlet response class provides an addCookie method, and that addCookie method takes one of the cookies that you might have created as an argument. The advantage of doing that is that you don't have to worry about the formats for different versions of cookie header strings. Just create an addCookie, give it a key value pair, and you're done. Now, let's say we want the servlet to handle both get and post requests. Now, the default implementations of doGet and doPost returns a message saying that the method is not implemented. So the cheap way to do it is to implement doGet and then simply have doPost call doGet. Now, since a servlet stays loaded in between requests and all servlets are loaded in the same process, it's easy for servlets to remember information from one request to another and let different servlets share data. You can have servlets share data and pass information around, and one of the ways in which we can do that is to create a singleton object to handle shared resources. Let's say that you do that by creating a getSession object. You can start a new session by requesting an HTTP session object from your servlet request, say by calling request.getSession. This method takes a Boolean argument. True means a new session shall be started if none exist, and false means return an existing session. This session object will be unique for one user session. Now, if we want to associate multiple requests with a session, we can use cookies, or we can use the URL rewriting and pass all the stuff in the URL. Using cookies is a little bit more straightforward. If cookies are used, then we have a cookie with a unique session ID sent to the client when the session is established. Then that client includes the cookie in all the subsequent requests, which means that the servlet engine can then figure out which session the request is associated with, because it's going to be a unique session ID. Now, URL rewriting is intended for clients that don't support cookies. And in that case, the session ID is encoded in the URLs. So when the user clicks on the appropriate URL, the session ID is sent along to the server. So we can either have it in the cookie or we can pass it in the URL. An HTTP session can store any type of object. A typical example of what we store there is a database connection. allowing multiple requests to be part of the same database transaction, or we can store information about purchased products in a shopping cart application. This will allow the user to add items to the cart while browsing through the site. All of the servlets on a given server will belong to a single servlet context. We can group our set of servlets into one context and support more than one context on the same host. There are three servlet context methods dealing with context attributes. There is a get attribute behavior, a set attribute behavior, and a remove attribute behavior. In addition, the servlet engine may provide ways to configure a servlet context with additional attribute values. Now, this serves as a welcome addition to the servlet initialization arguments for configuration information that's used by a group of servlets, say database identifier, style sheet URLs, the name of a mail server, and stuff like that. Now, a servlet will get a reference to its servlet context object through servlet config. The HTTP servlet actually provides a convenience method called getServletContext, and that would make things really easy. Now, the 2.1 version of the servlet API adds a couple more mechanisms for sharing data between servlets. You can share them through request attributes, and you can share them through resources. Now, the get attribute names, and set attribute methods were added to the HTTP servlet request class. Well, technically, they were added to the servlet request superclass, but we're dealing with the HTTP entries. Those three methods were primarily intended to be used in concert with the request dispatcher. And recall that the request dispatcher can be used to forward a request from one servlet to another and to include the output from one servlet in the output from the main servlet. Now, the get resource and get resource as stream behaviors in the servlet context class gives you access to external resources such as an application configuration file. Now, you may be familiar with methods with similar names in the class loader. Now, the servlet context versions of these methods can provide access to resources that are not necessarily files. For example, a resource may be stored in a database, it may be available through an LDAP server. The resource can essentially be anything the servlet engine vendor decides to support. The servlet engine provides a context configuration option where you'll specify the route for the resource base, whether it's a directory path, an HTTP URL, a JDBC URL, or so forth. Now, as you've seen above, concurrent requests for a servlet can be handled by separate threads executing the corresponding request processing methods, such as doGet or doPost. It's therefore important that both the doGet and the doPost methods be thread safe. Now, the easiest way to guarantee that the code is thread safe is to avoid using instance variables altogether within the thread, and instead pass all information needed by the method as arguments, so we have local copies that each thread is going to deal with. There's also another reason for avoiding instance variables. In a multi-server system, there may be one instance of the servlet for each server. Requests for the same servlet may be distributed between the servers. Keeping track of the information in instance variables in that scenario is not going to work at all. In this type of system, instead you will want to use the HTTP session object or servlet context attributes or an external data store such as a database or an RMI Corba service to maintain the application state. But even if you start out with a small, single-user system, it's a good idea to write your servlets so they can easily scale up to a large multi-server system. I hope that you've enjoyed today's presentation on servlets. I look forward to your comments and to your questions. You can email your input to me by using the question box found on this page. I will be answering your questions, and I will be replying to your comments in upcoming presentations. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there is a show that you would like for me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thank you for your time today, and remember to tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.